Okay. Sharon and Alicia, you come and help to light the candle and incense, so that we can start off with the puja offering. The rest can stand, form a line, then we will proceed with our puja offering. So puja is devotional practices, where we make offering to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, so that we can rejoice with all this wholesomeness. We rejoice with the generosity of those who make the offering, their sincerity. Then all of the wholesomeness that arise, we develop the joy, the happy mind. So all these are good mind states to make us a better living being. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. For those who are new, when you receive the offering, you hold it and rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. Then you face the Buddha Rupang, then you make offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you pass on. Later on, you can learn. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can do all this with awareness, mindfulness, attentiveness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you like really partake in all this offering with a conscious mind that is aware. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then feel the joy within. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 The two of you can go back to your place. Sadhu, sadhu. You can go back to your place. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu is a Pali word for rejoicing. When you rejoice with the generosity, wholesomeness, and goodness of what people have done, their faith, you develop the merits and the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Later on, for those who are new, you can reflect on the offering. The significance of all this offering will be understood when I go through the chanting. They have their very important significance. They can remind you of the teaching. Then you make aspiration through this understanding. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated. Then we can start our puja. Okay, let us kneel in front of Buddha Rupang, develop our faith, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through an understanding of how special being the Buddha is, and how wonderful the teaching is all about, how it can help you understand life and relieve all of human suffering. So through this faith, we develop the virya or the tenacity, the strong intention or tenacity to walk this way, to learn this teaching. Then together with faith, spiritual zeal, virya, we will pay respect mindfully. Then we will start the chanting. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. We will commence our subsequent puja recitation. First, we will start off with a salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamandatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipapuja, significance of offering of likes. Ganna sara paditena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujayi paujani yang tang Puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabawang Adina setu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatumutamang adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatumutamang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will make aspiration based on our understanding of the puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding fall far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared by all, without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gemma. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, I understand that there are a few new people. I think about four of them who are new to our class. So you are most welcome to join us. Maybe I will make full use of this opportunity to re-emphasize the significance of all this so-called puja offering. Every Buddhist session, when we start, the Buddha recommend that we hold a pre-puja. Puja is a Pali word. It denotes devotional practices that we devote to make offering to the Triple Gem. Triple Gem, for those who are new, if you are not from the Buddhist community, you may not understand. When we talk about gems, G-E-M-S, gemstone, they are the most precious of all the precious stones. That's why we call it the gemstone. So when we term the three gems of Buddhism, which is the Buddha himself, the first gem. Second one is his teaching, the Dhamma. The Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, the essence of his teaching. That is the second gem. The third one is the Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. Because they are enlightened, they are also called the third of the triple gem. So these three, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, according to the Buddha, is the most precious in this universe. That's why we call them the triple gem. And we have to pay respect to develop our wholesomeness, merits, and also affinity with the triple gem. Because according to the Buddha, if you don't have this refuge with the triple gem, you will not have the condition to receive the teaching. It's only within this triple gem you can find the teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is like the secret of life. When you understand this teaching, it's like you understand the secret of life and you know how to live. Then you can be free from all suffering. You can have the good life, the noble life, the happy, peaceful, and very conducive type of human life. Then later on, because of this understanding, it can also pave the way for you to develop a lot of wholesomeness and goodness so that your karmic nature is taken care of. And when this is developed, in future, if you have to come or you choose to come, then you will have the great support of your good karma that you have developed through this understanding of his teaching. And according to the Buddha, apart from this triple gem, you cannot find this teaching. Even though the teaching are there, you cannot find them. The Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, he surely have the teaching because he realized it after long period of cultivation and practice. Then the Dhamma, which is his teaching, is what the essence of his teaching is all about. That's why it is also a gem. If you have affinity with the Buddha or the Dhamma, whenever they arise, you will have the affinity to come into contact with them and have the condition to learn them and benefit from them. And the last gem is the enlightened disciples of the Buddhas. And because they are enlightened disciples, they also have the teaching. That's why the triple gem are of great significance. So when we pay respect to triple gem, when we make offering to triple gem, it develops a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of goodness. Then it gives us a lot of merits. These merits are very important for you to develop the understanding of the condition behind things arising and passing away. So you can invoke power of merits. Merit is like spiritual wealth. You can use it for your well-being and the well-being of others, provided you understand how to use them. Later on, it will be elaborated. Then the chanting part, you can read through the translation yourself later. Because the English translation is side by side. And the main purpose of this puja is to develop the five spiritual faculty or mental faculty that can help you understand spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. Without this spiritual faculty, living beings will become heedless. They will develop problems in life, and through that, they will suffer. And the reason why that arise is because of the mental hindrance, the Buddha said. If you do not train yourself, if you do not develop the opposite five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will arise and they will bring about downfall. They will bring about karmic negativity and you will become very, very heedless. And through that, you will develop a lot of wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong mental states. Every thought that you arise, they will not be in accordance with nature's law that governs life and existence. So you look at the whiteboard, these two. This one are the five mental hindrances. And this list over here are the five spiritual faculties. Maybe I put them over here. These are the two opposite sets of mind state. The spiritual faculty will help you to develop the spiritual understanding of his teaching. These are called spiritual understanding because it enhances your mind state to develop the ability to understand his spiritual teaching. So like the word spiritual means beyond the ordinary mind state. That's why it's about spirituality. Understanding the thing that is beyond the worldly. Yeah. The first one is called Sada or faith. Yeah? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. The other English word that lends importance to this word is called confidence. When you have confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, you have faith, you have Sada. So just like our worldly life, you have confidence in yourself, self-confidence. That will enhance you strongly. It will make you different because with confidence, you can do things better. Just like the English saying, when you have confidence in yourself, half the battle is won. Is you can do well. But when you lack confidence, like taking exam or what, chances is you will not do well. So this confidence, this faith, in the spiritual sense, is different from self-confidence. Self-confidence is only motivating yourself and make yourself confident because you have prepared for it, you have developed the understanding of it, and you have learned that particular subject very well. So you feel confident. Then you can approach things in a very confident manner. You got no fear. Yeah. You got no worry. And you got nothing to distract you. So in the spiritual sense, it's the same. So this faith comes from understanding who the Buddha is, how special a being he is. He is not only an enlightened being. He is called the Sammasambuddha, means the fully enlightened one, perfect in virtue and wisdom. You can say the Buddha is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. And because of his nine great virtue or qualities, he is very special. And because of that, he can come out with the understanding of life. He can summarize all of life and existence into just Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching. And from there, you can develop the understanding of life to liberate your mind. Then you can free your mind from all suffering. Whatever happened in life, anytime, any place, anywhere, you are always peaceful, you are always happy, you are always blessed, and you are always beautiful. Yeah. So that ability to have this mind state throughout your life, every moment, every instant, without any negativity of mind state, means without any fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or unhappiness. And you are very calm, very peaceful, and very mindful, heedful. And there is a lot of understanding that give rise to the joy, the peace, and the understanding. And this is why this teaching, once you understand how special and unique this teaching is, you will determine the second spiritual faculty. Means you determine to learn this teaching. So this determination is called virya, or the spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate his teaching. So when you develop these two, you will develop the third spiritual faculty. Because when you train your mind to be silent, to be peaceful, to be aware most of the time, then you have sati. Or in English, they call it mindfulness. Your mind is full, without thought, full of attentiveness, awareness. So sati is awareness or mindfulness, the silent mind without thought. So when you do things with awareness, you are attentive, you are not lost in thought, you are not heedless, you don't think. Because you don't think, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sadness, no sorrow, no lamentation. That's why you are always at peace and with the moment. Then you can be aware of whatever that is going on. Then there is clarity. And through that clarity, you can see things clearly. You can see things as they are, without distortion, without the conditioning of your mind state, which is your views and opinion of things. And once you cultivate this sati, you will develop the fourth spiritual faculty, which we call samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, or the unwavering mind. So when you are mindful and aware, and when you stabilize this mind, it becomes very calm, very peaceful. Then it becomes unwavering and collected. So as you live life, when you see something, hear something, smell something, or tactically feel something, or recall through your thought process, recollect something, you are always at peace. Your mind will not flutter. Your mind will never get disturbed or fearful. Like when you hear a bad news, or you see something horrible or whatever, you will not panic. You will have composure of mind. Your mind is collected and unwavering. So this spiritual faculty can help you to be at peace under whatever circumstances in life. So when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are clearly, because your mind is not distorted, not stirred, not disturbed, not reacting. It's just aware that it can see things as they are, which is the truth, the reality. So your seeing is the direct seeing, not the conditioned seeing. Conditioned seeing means you are conditioned by your views and opinion of things. That's why straight away you react. Straight away you respond according to your belief system, according to your whatever rites and ritual or conditioning. Yeah. Then your attachment to whatever religious belief. Then your fear that arises to your rites and ritual, tradition and other things. So when you can do this, sati and samadhi will give rise to understanding, which is wisdom, means understanding truth, the reality of the moment. Not through a distorted mind, a conditioned mind. So when your views and opinion don't interfere, and you develop the clear understanding of life, then you can insight into the phenomenal world, and you can realize their universal characteristics, which are very important. The impermanent universal characteristic of all things, or all phenomena, physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. And because they are impermanent, then you can see how the mind, when it lashes onto it, hold onto it, cling onto it, and want it to stay or remain forever, or you want to resist it or reject it or push it away, then you develop the second universal characteristic, which the Buddha calls suffering. Suffering is unsatisfactoriness of mind state, when you cannot come to accept the reality of the moment, when you want things your way, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want in life. Your mind stir, you become reactive, and you are no longer at peace. That's why your mind is no longer collected and unwavering. So these are the result of the untrained mind that has this heedlessness. So the Buddha said, once you develop these five, the mental hindrance will cease. Then you will have no problem in life. Then your mind state is beautiful, because you are truly spiritual person who who has the spiritual faculty to understand life, to understand his teaching. But without this, this fire will be there throughout the day, every moment, every instant. This is why the Buddha called it the mental hindrance. The mental hindrance are mind state that will hinders your mind, hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace or inner awareness. That's the reason why living beings who don't have the spiritual faculty, they are not peaceful. They are not happy. They are heedless. They are not aware at all. And how this mental hindrance affect you can be understood very easily if you pay attention to the English words or translation. The first two, the Buddha call it sensual desire and ill will. These are the pair of opposite. We call it duality. Your like and dislike. Your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Like when you go through life, when you see something, hear something, smell or taste or tactile, feel something or think of something, the tendency is to either attach or reject. Means you either like that sense perception or you dislike. Then this like and dislike or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience that you go through will give rise to sensual desire. If it's some pleasant experience, you want it repeated. You desire it to be repeated. And you want to think about it and dwell into it. That's why this will create the heedless mind. Heedless in the sense that you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with that sense experience, whether you like it or you dislike it. So these two constantly arise in the normal living being's mind. That's why throughout the day, if you arise a lot of this sensual desire, you will. That's why they say in Hokkien, your mind very kepo. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. See something also want to complain. Then something you like, you want it repeated. Then if somebody were to off it, or like nice music, you get very unhappy. Then all those beautiful things or pleasurable things that you see, you tend to have craving, desire for it to be repeated or recalled to mind. So whenever you do that, your mind is lost in thought, preoccupied in that process of like and dislike. That's why you are not at peace. You are not in the moment in awareness to experience life, to see life, to understand life clearly. You are always lost in thought, preoccupied with what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this tool is very powerful. If it keep on arising, means you keep on becoming heedless. What happened? It become habitual. Then this habitual tendency repeat itself. That's why it become a mental hindrance. Throughout the day, it hinders you from becoming peaceful. And these two are very powerful. You cannot stop it until you have mindfulness, wisdom, accumulating into, of course, mindfulness accumulating into samadhi. But when you have faith and confidence in the Buddha, you are very confident, you are very calm. Your mind is not distracted. Then when you have virya, this zeal, spiritual zeal, will push you, will develop the what they call tenacity for you to focus on the cultivation, to walk the path of Dhamma, to cultivate this teaching. So this will help to overcome what they call the third mental hindrance, which is sloth and torpor or lethargic mind, sleepy mind. So when you don't have any understanding of the spiritual importance of the spiritual teaching, it's just like when you attend a class or any subject that you don't like, you will be sleepy because you cannot concentrate, you cannot focus, you cannot develop the attentiveness because it's like very boring to you. You don't see the importance of that subject and it doesn't interest you. So like meditation, when you try to sit, you become sleepy. This is the hindrance. So when you are tired, it's not so bad because it's a bodily condition. But if it's because you've got no interest and you don't see the importance of being heedful or having the spiritual faculty or awareness or mindfulness, then sleepiness come in. That is a hindrance. Okay? Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. This one is also very common, very powerful. Living being has a lot of problem when they go through life. When you confront life, you tend to experience a lot of mind state which are not so conducive for the happy life because you have problems. Problems related to life. And the Buddha call it by different names, different realities, like health problem, financial problem, relationship problem. Then all the other life-related problems. Yeah. Once you have problem, you will have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Sometimes it could be some problems with your loved ones or yourself. Then when you develop that type of problem, you will have fear, like fear of losing your job, fear of losing your spouse, your children, your loved one, fear of dying, fear of disease and sickness, career problem, financial problem, police case and other things. So when there is fear, worry, anxiety, you are not peaceful. Your mind becomes restless. Where you worry a lot. And this is a hindrance. That's why under whatever circumstances in life, when you face a situation or a problem, do not panic. Do not develop the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, the Buddha said. Maintain the calmness, the composure to confront things, so that you can have clarity of mind, so that you do not fall into this trap of becoming restless. This is a hindrance. The moment you have fear, worry, anxiety, you will become restless and you cannot do anything. This will actually create more problem for you. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety can make you peaceful. And because of that, you don't have clarity. You cannot understand your problem. You only panic. You only worry. And this will make you miserable. That's how people enter depression. They become sorrowful. They develop a lot of unhappy mind state until they are so depressed, so unhappy with life. Then the negative tendency develop a lot of negative emotion. Then they have frustration, unhappiness. All these negative tendencies will kill you because they are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, make you miserable. So this fourth hindrance is very powerful. So the whole teaching is to understand all this. And the last one is doubt. When you don't have understanding, you have a lot of doubt. You are not sure why things are like that. Then most of the time you blame God. Why is God so unfair? How come only me, not others? Yeah. Why I so sway on the thing? So doubt is another hindrance. When you have doubt, you lack confidence. You cannot do things. So this part is very important. Eh? Sada. When you have faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching, you will have no more doubt. But his teaching can explain to you all of life, the secret of life, and you know what to do very clearly. You will not go and believe all those feng shui, or the medium, or whatever things that you think can help you to improve your life. But the real law, nature's law that governs life and existence, when you come to understand, it has very little or nothing to do with all those things that most people believe in. Especially feng shui. Later I will explain if I have the condition. Then some believe in fortune telling and all those things. Then some believe in the medium, the Bomo, the Ryan ritual, and all those things. And they pay so much, spend so much money to do all those things. Then some believe in all those, what they call special stone, that can give you power, give you luck, and you pay through your nose to get it, or some charm or whatever. Yeah. So all this is due to your ignorance, lack of understanding. That's why you can be deceived and fall for all this. And according to the Buddha, you can fall for all this is also because in the past, previous life, maybe many, many lives ago, you have been deceiving people, cheating people, causing suffering to people in the same manner. That's why now you become victim. You will fall for them. Like drug addict and all those things, same. You push drug, you get people into trouble. In future, you become victim. People will push to you. So these are the mental hindrance that we need to understand. So meditation is to overcome this. When you develop this, all this will go. So if you look at the spiritual faculty, you will know it counter all this. Eh? Faith will counter doubt. Then virya will counter sleepiness. Eh? Then sati or mindfulness, awareness, will counter these two, sensual desire, you will. Well, when you are mindful, aware, you don't think, the sensual desire, you will, does not arise. Then when your mind has samadhi, collected and unwearying, there is no restlessness, it is always at peace. Then when you have wisdom, all these five mental hindrances cease to be. So meditation is to develop this five spiritual faculty, and straight away this five hindrance will be gone. But it is not easy to develop this. That's why our puja start with devotion to develop the faith, sadha and the virya. Then you pay respect mindfully, you make offering mindfully. Then you rejoice, you develop the wholesome state of mind. That's how the first three spiritual faculty come into being. Then now in the meditation, which we will start after this, you will develop the training of the mind, yeah, to be silent, to be peaceful, so that this sati can be developed. Then you learn to stabilize it. Yeah. Once you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. But this is only the formal training. You need to bring forth this mind state that you have trained while you are in the formal meditation into your daily life, so that in your daily life, this spiritual faculty are still there. And then you can meditate with it throughout the day. Then it will arise wisdom, which is the fifth spiritual faculty. We call it panya. So basically, this is what we teach and share here. Then later, when we have condition, I will explain the other thing. Okay? So now maybe we can off the light. And those who already know how to meditate, you can start your meditation. For those who are new, I will give you some simple instruction to train your mind. Okay, what you need to do is have a stable posture. You can cross your leg, you cross your leg, then you sit straight. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then silence everything. Close your eye. Then maintain a relaxed state of body and mind. Just breathe in, breathe out, mindfully. Then maintain attention at your forehead. I will teach you a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method or body scanning. Some people use different name. You feel your forehead, silence everything. Close your eye and just feel. Don't think, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it. Soothingly relax. Relax, relax and relax every part of your forehead. Wherever you can feel any tension or any tightness or any stress within, you just relax it. Then you sweep the mind down to your eye muscle, scan it down, feel. Similarly, relax every strand of your eye muscle. After a tired day, most of you have tired eyes, so you feel it. And feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax every strand of it. Then move your attention now to your facial muscle. Again, feel and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax every strand of your facial muscle. Soothingly relax, relax, and relax. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy, you are happy. Then the mind relaxes by itself, naturally. So radiate a radiant smile, visualizing yourself facing a mirror, radiating this radiant smile to relax. Then naturally your facial muscle will relax. Then you use this loving kindness meditation to help you develop the wholesome mind. The mind sweeping method bring about inner peace, inner calmness, but this loving kindness will bring about inner well-being. So you recite, follow what I recite. Yeah? May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel your body and mind having this well-being and happiness. You can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Each and every cell of it, very calm, very peaceful, with all the well-being and happiness. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. No more physical and no more mental suffering. There is only peace. There is only calmness, silent within. Then may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May no harm affect it. May it be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you radiate this same metta to your loved one. May my loved ones too be well, happy, and peaceful. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will, and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, may all meditator, co-meditator, Dhamma friends, may they all too be well, happy, and peaceful also. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then the whole of the solar system, extending on to the Milky Way, all the galaxy and the entire universe. May all beings within the entire existence do be well, happy and peaceful. May they all too Be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Eh? Then you can go back to your facial muscle. Just feel, relax every part of it. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Then after that, you move it down to your shoulder. Feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then you come back to your shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your chest or heart area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where you will reside when you are conscious. So you relax everything silent and just feel. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. But if you are new, then never mind. You just silence everything and just feel. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your stomach. Again, silent, feel, relax. Then move it down to your abdomen. Again, silent, feel, relax. Then your leg, buttock. Relax every part. Feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method from your leg. Feel, relax. Then buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Back to chest area, feel, relax and silence everything. Then you move your attention back to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, neck. Then facial muscle, feel, relax every part. Then your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then what I will teach you now is, with inner peace and inner well-being, you will be able to train this mind to be peaceful, to be aware. But you need to stabilize this awareness. To stabilize this mindfulness or awareness, you need an object of meditation to anchor it initially, because you are not skillful as yet. Without an object, the mind can wander off very easily. Yeah? So most teachers will use a skillful means to anchor the mind. The Buddha used breathing. He called it anapanasati. So I will teach you how to meditate on mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is training the mind to be mindful of this in and out breath. And it's very easy to do. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just feel. And breathe in, breathe out naturally. The moment you silence everything and just feel, your awareness, your mind or attentiveness will detect the breathing. The moment the mind detects the breathing, allow the mind to just follow the breathing. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. So no word, just follow. Yeah? Mindfully breathing in and mindfully breathing out. Body and mind as one, or the breath and mind as one. That is anapanasati. And this training is relatively easy if you have the understanding and you are patient enough. Every time the mind wanders off, you just patiently bring it back. initially, because you are not trained, you are not skillful. That's why split second, the awareness, the mindfulness is gone. Then you are lost in thought. Never mind, just maintain attention in front of your nostril again. Feel, detect the breathing, then continue. If you are patient enough, you repeat it maybe 5-10 minutes. It will stabilize. Yeah? Then for those who already know how to do it, when Anapanasati develops, you will become very calm, very peaceful. And you will experience the first type of mental peace, which they call piti. P-I-T-I. Piti is a Pali word. It denotes spiritual calmness, mental calmness, born of mindfulness. When you are mindful, aware, without thought, you are peaceful. And there is a type of joy they call the spiritual joy or spiritual rapture that will arise. And this is the first spiritual calmness that you will experience. And piti, being an enlightenment factor, will make you peaceful, calm, and you will like to meditate. So I will allow you to train your mind to develop this. Then as you continue to relax into it, the piti will become more and more calm, more and more refined, until it accumulates into sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind, more refined than piti. Then as you continue to relax and aware, your mind will become different again. It will transform into tranquility or stillness of mind. We call pasati. And that is the meditative state. So you are here to train your mind to develop this piti, sukha, and pasati. And when you hit pasati, you just silence everything, relax, and just maintain the awareness. No need to do anything. Once the mind hit pasati, you are in the meditative state. You can understand many, many things. Then the meditation is very natural, very simple. Everything will just fall into place. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 5 or 10 minutes. Okay. Slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Like I explained earlier on, these are the trained mind state that you need to carry on into your daily life. And the real meditation is when you have the spiritual faculty developed and you are able to be mindful in the midst of daily life and do the daily mindfulness. That is the real meditation. Daily mindfulness meditation will be simple when you are able to stabilize that mindfulness and to be mindful most of the time throughout the day in life. Then you use this awareness, mindfulness, or attentiveness to observe life, to understand life, and to put into cultivation the meditation that's taught by the Buddha, which is namely Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the gist of it. Yeah? Initially, not easy. Yeah? You need to train. Train means like any games you play. Yeah? When you become skillful, means you have trained. Means you can decide, like badminton, where you want to deliver the shuttlecock. Serve low, you will go low. Serve high, you will go high. You want to return baseline, it will just go there. It will listen to you. The untrained mind is heedless. It doesn't listen to you. When you have trained this mind, it becomes beautiful. You want it to be peaceful, quiet, silent, and still. It will just do that. Still, silent, and peaceful. That's how you can be peaceful throughout the day. You can be mindful throughout the day, aware throughout the day. Then you can decide what you want to do with this mind. You want it to reflect, contemplate, you will just do that. You will not be heedless like before. The mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. Even in the midst of a tired day, you will be very peaceful, relaxed, and just aware, silent. Even when you are sick, no problem. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more like anxiety or excitement. You can have joy, you can have peace, you can have love, you can have understanding and good mind state, but it's not the excited one. It's no more. It's a very refined time, very peaceful, very different. That joy comes with understanding, not the excitable, worldly type. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas, and we will start our session 2 after that. Turn to page 6. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Ingbi is here. Can you? Oh, you don't have the mic. Oh, you got it. Good.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vicchacharana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang do bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachatang veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Ujupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango. Patipanno bhagavato savakasango. Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Yadidang chattari purisa yukani atha purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttarang punyaketa lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay homage to the Triple Gem. Buddhang pujimi. Dhammang pujimi. Sanghang pujimi. Okay, you can be seated. Tonight, before we start second session, which is meditation reporting and question and answer, you can report your meditation. After that, ask me any question with regards to the meditation or the teaching. And at the same time, how you can make use of what you have learned here to apply them so that you can use it to understand life and live the spiritual life of spiritual peacefulness, calmness, and noble life of good understanding that can liberate your mind and make you peaceful no matter what happened in life. But before we start on session 2, I'd like you to turn to page 14, because I realize a lot of Kayamita sometimes when we attend like Kayamita's monthly gathering. This month is May, May and Wei Hong, the 31st of July. They just sent out the invitation. So we have this monthly gathering of Kayamita where we have this monthly house dana where Kayamita take turn to book their dates for this monthly sharing, then all Kayanamitas will be invited to partake in this house dana, so that we can together have fellowship and rejoice with the wholesomeness, and to partake in all the dhamma sharing, puja offering, and many other related dhamma activity that we usually hold. And sometimes during this particular house dana, I may chant this page 14, the blessing. We invoke the power of triple gem. Then sometime at the wake, I will also do it if there is a condition. Like our recent Kayanamita, Sally, we chant this at the wake. We invoke the power of blessing and the power of triple gem. So in order to let you have a better understanding, I will read to you this one. The Pali version is called Sumangala. So we will normally chant this auspicious blessing. And it is very useful, very wholesome. The Pali chanting is Sabbe tiyo vivajantu sabba rogo vinasatu mate bhava tvantarayo sukhi digayo ko bhava. So the meaning is this: may all misfortune be averted, may all sickness be healed, may no danger befall you, may you live long and happy. Then we invoke the triple gem. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada suti pavantu te. The meaning is, may there be blessings all around. May all devas protect you by the power of all the Buddhas. May you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then we repeat the same for the Dhamma and the Sangha. May there be blessing all around. May all devas protect you. By the power of all the Dhammas, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. So we repeat for the Sangha. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkantu sabba devata sabba sangha anubhavena sada soti pavantu te. May there be all the blessings. May all the devas protect you. By the power of all the Sangha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then the last part is also very useful. This is to avert all those negative forces of nature. Then this paritta or Pali chanting, it has its power and vibration. If it's chanted with understanding and faith by cultivator, they are very powerful. So we will chant nakata yakta buddhanam papaka nivarana paritasanubhavena hantuati sang upadave. The meaning is, by this paritta virtue, means the chanting of this Pali sutta or paritta virtue, may no ill come to pass through cosmic forces, demons, powerful non-humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May our misfortunes cease to exist. This is to avoid all the negative forces of nature. Sometimes these forces, they are around. You don't have the karmic parami to help you avoid or avert. It may inflict most living beings. So when you chant this, because you take refuge, and people who do it for you, they have the parami and the virtue, so it will help to bring forth the good condition for you to avert them. But if you yourself are a cultivator, then your virtue, your goodness will protect you. Nothing protects you except your virtue. Not all the feng shui and all those medium and all those belief, fortune telling and all those things. Those are very limited with very little benefits when you understand. It has its sciences, of course, but there is not much effect. We are the real one, which actually the main, what they call law, nature's law, that decide your fate or your fortune is only one nature's law, the nature's law of karma. And that one, 99.99% is responsible for your fortune, your life, and your fate. That's why the Buddha said we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Every day you have to reflect and contemplate on this. The five daily contemplation, the last one. So when you understand that your life depends so much on karma, almost 100% of it, then why do you go for and look for other things? If you don't take care of karma, whatever feng shui you have will not help you. Whatever what they call fortune teller's advice to you, unless it's the Dhamma, it will not help you. Then all those crystal or whatever charm and all those things you can pay through your nose is of not much use. Sometimes it gives you more problem because you become dependent. Then when things don't go your way, you always blame on other things because this is your karmic inheritance. That's why you will get yourself entangled back into all those things. But when you have followed this teaching and developed the understanding, then make the relevant aspiration to go this way. Life after life you come, you will have this right understanding or right view. And your life will be different. You will not be affected by all those things. You will not be deceived by what people tell you. So this one is very useful. Then the last part, of course, is also useful, but we seldom chant this. They invoke the power of the Buddhas. Sabbe Buddha Balapata Pachekana Cha Yang Balang Arahantanang Che Titjena Rakhan Bandamai Sabbaso. The meaning is all Buddhas are very powerful, and whatever power there is of the Buddhas, and through the powers of all the Arahants, may there be protection in all aspects. So this is to invoke the Sangha, the third gem, to give you protection. So at least after we go through this, you will understand what the chanting is. So it's mainly for auspicious blessing to the place, to the people, because the condition requires or demands. So when there is condition, we will chant. Then when you have understanding, you will rejoice because you partake in all this wholesomeness. Okay, for those who are new, I have this book. I think you can have a copy each. This is a seminar paper that I gave in the year 2013 in Bangkok. I was invited to deliver a paper at this international seminar, World Buddhist Conference. The title is called Success in Life via Meditation Following the Dhamma Way. It's an international seminar on life management with meditation, experience, and success. And is co-sponsored, I think, by the Buddhist World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and the Pipala Vanarang Mindfulness Center. And it was held in Bangkok on the 10th to 12th August 2013. This is a very good book. It summarizes to you the teaching of the Buddha and how you can apply it to develop the understanding of life so that it can help you to live the noble life of a true Buddhist who is worthy of the Buddha. So this one, I will leave it to you to read. Then if you got any question, maybe next session, you can come and ask. Then I will explain them to you. Okay, now we open it up to the floor. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question with regards to the meditation and the Dhamma, you can. Okay. You can just raise your hand. Anybody? Don't have. Then, what you all want to do? Anybody got any suggestion? What about the new people? Can you understand? Oh, good. Not bad. If you cannot understand, don't worry, you can ask. Whatever you don't understand, you can ask. Are you more calm, more peaceful when you are here? Yeah, pass the mic to her. Yeah.
I'm very new to this meditation.
Yes. Yeah.
And then during the meditation, I can't really like calm down.
I know.
Because I was like, the moment I calm down, I feel my muscle very stretched, and I always want to stretch my
muscle. I know.
I cannot really sit.
That's why you must listen attentively. When I start, what did I say? Relax. Body and mind, remember?
I try to relax.
You try means you are using your thought. That's why you cannot do it. When you try to sleep, you cannot sleep. But when you are tired, what happens? You will sleep very naturally. Because you are tired, your mind is no longer active. That's why you sleep. But when you try to be peaceful or try to relax, what happens is the mental hindrance come in. The more you try, the more agitated your mind is. So then like everything is tense up because this has been your condition in the daily life. That's why when you come to meditate, you're supposed to relax and just silent, peaceful. But most people cannot do it because you are already habitually conditioned into that state. So that tenseness is something you don't know how to deal with because you have never learned how to relax. Do you do yoga? That's why you don't do yoga. Then you don't know how to like relax, isn't it? Yeah? Because you are not trained. So it's okay because most people have that. So you look at here, the four important support for this type of meditation we call awareness based or mindfulness based. The first one is relax. Relax means what? Relax into every mind state that arise. Okay? When you feel the tenseness, then your body you want to stretch. This is the mind telling you, understand not? Because you are not at peace. That's why you become restless, correct or not? You want to stretch, you cannot stretch. Because everybody is meditating. But next time, don't worry. You need to stretch, go to the back there and stretch. Understand or not? We are here to train our mind to be peaceful. To be in a state of relax. To be at peace. We are not here to torture ourselves. Understand or not? Sorry, I didn't tell you that. So you must have unnecessarily forcing yourself to go through that so-called 15 to 20 minutes of unnecessary tense state. But don't worry, luckily you asked, that's why now you understand. Means relax into every mind state. If the mind tell you I must stretch, means what? The mind is not at peace with what is happening because it doesn't know how to deal with this. So you tell the mind, relax. Don't tell me what to do. Relax. Relax means what? Don't do anything. Don't do anything, then the mind will be at peace. It's just like when you are very tired. What do you do? Then you sleep, isn't it? you learn to lie very tired. You will relax on. Means every part of it relax. But when you are very tired, you will not tense up anymore. But because you are not relaxed, that's why you can feel the tension inside. That's why the tightness. That's why I say go to your forehead, feel. Then relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Just silent and feel. If there's any tightness, any tension or any stress within, you can feel it, isn't it? Then you just allow it to relax. Just mentally relax, relax and relax. You know Mandarin or not? Fang song. Chuan ti fang song. Understand? Pang ling, keen. Or in English, what? Relax. Relax means fang song, understand not? Don't be tense anymore. Understand? Just relax. Be natural. Be in the natural state of inner peace, inner calmness. When you are very peaceful, very calm, you are very relaxed. But when you are not relaxed, you are not peaceful. You are very tense, like what happened to you. Which is very good that you ask. Otherwise, a lot of people, worse, they are in that state that they did not ask. Then they continue to have that type of problem. So because you asked, you benefited it, not only yourself, but other people too. So relax into every mind state that arises. When your mind relax, your body will relax. Understand? Then you want to be like very tired. You just then everything will relax. Then you radiate a radiant smile. When you can smile means what? There is joy. When you have joy, you are not tense. True or not? When you have fear, worry, you very tense. Understand? Because you are restless. That's why your mind reacted. This is a hindrance. That's why you are not peaceful. Because you become restless, you want to relax, you cannot relax. You thought relax means must stretch yourself and then make yourself comfortable. That is just a stretching. Like making yourself not in that, what they call, like you are forced into a posture because you are not used to sitting. When you are forced into a posture and not allowed to move, for beginner, you have a lot of this problem. You become restless, you don't know what to do. So, we are in your natural state at home. You want to put your leg up, you put your leg out. You want to lie on the couch, you lie on the couch. You just lie down and do whatever you like. Understand? But that one is not in a silent posture to relax. You relax because you want to move around. So meditation is different. It has to be a stable posture that can allow you to relax body and mind so that you can train this so-called form and mind or human form and the mental. That's why I draw this. A human being is just a physical body with the conscious mind or consciousness trapped inside. So this one interacts with the physical. So when this one is not peaceful, it becomes restless, then it will affect the physical. Understand? That's why this one will feel that you are not relaxed. You are very tense. And you want to do stretching because that is the only way you know how to relax. Yeah. And that one won't help you much. After that, you sit again, you again feel that problem again. Understand? But to you, relax means stretch. Like those people who do yoga, they relax and do all those movements and make themselves very flexible. And the reason why they can become so flexible is because they know how to relax and do all those posture. That's why they train. So meditation is a type of training. You find a suitable posture that can allow you to be peaceful and calm. Then you can train your mind. Then this mind, when it's trained, it becomes peaceful. When the mind is peaceful, the body will be peaceful. When the mind has problem, the body is not peaceful. This one you can relate in there. When you have a lot of problem in your office, in your life, what happened to you? You become restless because you got a lot of problem in there. Office problem, work pressure. Then come home, got family problem, relationship problem, then responsibility, duty, and all those things. it will make you miserable or very tense. So when the mind is not peaceful, you develop what they call restlessness, leading to stress. You stress yourself out, manasana. Then what happens when you are stressful? Your immune system breaks down. And then you develop all those funny diseases. They call cancer and all those things. So that's why cancer people has a lot of what they call suffering. Because they are very stressful in their job environment, in their life, in their family environment, in their relationship. They have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. Then they actually become very depressed because of their lack of understanding. They are what they call low self-esteem. Then they become very depressed because they don't know what to do. They blame themselves. Then sometimes they blame others. And they become full of hatred, anger, vengeance, unhappiness. That will condition into sorrow and lamentation. Then their mind state becomes so negative. That's why they become so depressed and set into depression. Then they lock themselves out and have a lot of problems. That's how living beings develop all these problems, through stress. Stress come about because you are not relaxed. You are restless. And you have problem. That's why you become restless. You create all this stress. So meditation is a good way of de-stressing, to allow you to recuperate after a tired day. So all this office thing and your daily life that brings about all this stress or mental hindrance, you can unwind them when you come to the meditation. You relax, become peaceful, calm, aware. Then this will recuperate. Your body will recuperate. It's like you have a good rest. Maybe as lady, you all know, you all go for facial, you go for spa. You know? What happened after facial and spa? You feel very good, you know? Very relaxed, you know? Very peaceful. Yeah, you let people do, you know? Then they unwind you, understand? They will massage you, they will do all the nice facial. Then you just sit there, relax, and they use the word enjoy. But meditation, you don't enjoy. The joy come to you. Then you can be in the state of awareness. You can be aware of it. You can be at peace with it. Then you can develop the joy within. But with awareness, you are not carried away by it. Means you don't attach to it. If there is condition for it to arise, you are fully aware in that state to experience them. That's how you can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life within that moment with clarity, where you have sati, you have mindfulness, you are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with sensual desire. You don't cling and attach to the joy. When you cling and attach to the joy, what happens? Yeah? Next time you go for another spa, or that girl who do it for you not there, another one not so skillful, what you do? You become very unhappy. This girl, so different one. This girl so charming, so lousy. Where you attached to that good state, understand? No matter how charming, you know how to relax and aware, you will find it very different because everyone is different, understand? If you know how to relax and allow the thing, then whatever state you are peaceful. Then the best is, as a meditator, you don't need people to massage you to become peaceful and relaxed. You can just do it on your own. Don't have to waste money. But of course, facial make you more pretty. They do a lot of things to your skin and all those things. Then they take out a lot of things, the oil they clean for you. But you pay. It doesn't mean you cannot. You can pamper yourself, no problem. You have the means and you find it interesting, go. But you know how to meditate. All this can be done in a very different way, which is a lot better. And you can benefit from it tremendously. You just relax, like our friend here, you think he's sleep, he's meditating. And he's so peaceful, so calm, and so still, no thought. How can you have that state of mind without thought? Without thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no tension, no tightness, nothing, just relaxed, silent, peaceful. Aware most of the time. Thought arise, aware, no thought also aware. Yeah. So the benefits of meditation are a lot. I describe in that book too, you go back and read, you will know. First, it will bring about inner peace, inner calmness, then inner well-being. These are the first two benefits of meditation. Then you will be in a state of relax. Yeah. Then the third one is clarity of mind. When you are calm, peaceful, relaxed, and aware, you have clarity of mind. This clarity of mind can allow you to understand things better, make better decisions, because you don't have restlessness, you don't have mental hindrance. All this cloud your mind, make you heedless, make you what they call like clouded with the thought, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. You cannot have clarity of mind, you cannot understand things. When you are in this muddled state, when the hindrance are there, your mind is clouded with all these mental hindrance. That's why it prevents you from having that clarity of mind to see. Then you are not efficient. You cannot make good decision. You cannot understand things so clearly. And you cannot actually be efficient in your work. You cannot deliver. Especially in the office, you got a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. You cannot do a good job. Then you will always gonna scolding. Then the boss will harass you, come after you, give you a deadline and all those things. But when you have clarity, when you are aware and you are confident, you can deliver and you can perform very well and you can finish all your work very fast. During the early day, I got one secretary and two stenographers, because that time I was in charge of a very big organization. I got 1,000 over staff. And the secretary and the first steno, they were like more experienced. But they cannot compare to the third one, the second stenographer that come. It's a Malay lady, you know, after form five. I still remember her name, Yati. Oh, I tell you, she is really good, very efficient and very fast. Because she come with a very simple mind. That time, 1986-87, I remember, a lot of graduate out of her job, you remember? No pay and all those things, recession. So this lady applied to the organization that I was working. Then she was assigned to me, my office. Then when she came, she was full of joy and hope because at least she can get a job at that time. Then she really committed. Then I just trained her. I said, very simple. You just learn how to do the thing that I tell you. Then, because she listened so attentively, she got this clarity of mind. You know. And every day, despite all the work that I have, after she come, the secretary and the first stenographer also very happy. We have a lot of free time. She take care of all my filing, everything. Then all the thing I do, she know one is like a routine already. Then every day, I was so surprised. Before 5 o'clock, where our office knock off at 5, she will get everything ready. Then she will come in and ask me 10 minutes before 5. Cetio, ada lagi apa ada? I said, tada. Okay, he said, pukul 5, I will leave. I said, go. And she was so efficient, because she simple mind. She don't have problem, and there's clarity. That's how you become very efficient. And later on, the word spread, everybody wanted her. Then what happened was, she was on temporary. Then after that 3 months, because they actually give this 3 months to every new graduate so that they got a chance to work for 3 months. Then we actually wrote in a letter to the vice chancellor. Even all my technician and secretary all supported that letter which I wrote. They all signed there. So this Pejawatan side, when they received the letter, they were so surprised. How come a new girl got so much people supporting her and all things? Then that what they call Timbalan Naib Chancellor means the Vice Chancellor assistant of Pajawatan. She wanted to try her out. She said, okay, I extend her for another 3 months, but now I use, you don't use. It take over. No? Then immediately confirm her after 1 month. No? Oh, and she become like the number one choice as a stenographer. That's why people with simple mind, with clarity, they can do work very well. And they can actually perform very well. And she was one of the few that I found to understand things very fast. Yeah. So coming back to your question on relax, now you understand. Relax into every mind state that arises. Means if you are unhappy, you are not peaceful, restless or what, you just relax, relax and relax. Allow the mind to relax. Let the mind be at peace. Then even when you meditate, sometimes you can concentrate and focus. When you concentrate and focus, energy will build up. You also have to relax into all those mind states, Anasana. Then sometimes you are full of energy inside there. When you are calm and peaceful, when your Anapanasati starts to develop, the energy will build up. You also have to relax into it. Then whatever that is tense, you will know, you will feel it, you relax. Then like I say, when you radiate a radiant smile, you will have joy, you will relax. That's why it helps you to relax. Then feel, relax, feel, relax. Sweep them down, feel, relax. Every time you do that, your muscle relax. Understand? Eye muscle, facial muscle. Then when you sweep through your whole body relax. Then you become very calm, very peaceful. Very still. And then very easy to meditate. Then you do Anapanasati, it will come. Understand? Okay? Then after that, you have to maintain awareness, means mindfulness, just silent, without thought, aware, relax, aware. This is meditation. Then maintain it for as long as you can, this state, just relax, silent. Then whatever that arises through your sense door, consciousness, you will know. The hearing, the smell, the taste, the tactile, the thought process, especially hearing. Then you just relax and silent. Then later you can hear your own heartbeat. Even doctor needs stethoscope, you don't need. You just silent, relax, aware. When you maintain attentiveness here, attention, that's how you feel, you will detect your heartbeat, the pulse. You don't need to put your finger there also. Here your mind becomes very sensitive. There is awareness. And you can be aware even inside your brain, every part. You will know when you eat something, which part trigger, especially asam laksa and all those things, or sweet oranges or sour thing or what. You will know from which nerve it trigger. That's why when you are mindful, you are sensitive, you are aware in a positive sense. Not the personality, very sensitive, a very sensitive person, that one is negative sense. This one, you become like extraordinarily sensitive, means your mind is very sensitive to a lot of things that is happening inside. That's why you are fully aware of the entire situation, the entire environment, your entire bodily state and health. Any part not correct or not right, you will understand. That is the benefit of meditation. So, the few benefits that I mentioned, inner peace, inner well-being, then able to relax, then have clarity of mind. And when you have clarity of mind, you will be able to do your work better, make better decisions. It will help you in your study, in your career, in whatever you do. Then after that, through this silent clarity, you can see things as they are, you develop wisdom, you become more wise, you make better decisions. You are not fluttered, you are not heedless. And all this can help you a lot in your life. So the benefits of meditation can bring forth a lot of advantages, especially wisdom. When you have wisdom, it can free your mind. Your mental suffering, your stress, everything will be gone. And you will develop a new type of understanding that will make you very calm, very peaceful, with a lot of clarity, with a lot of understanding. Then you will have a lot of joy to live life. Then you will actually like life. You will not be afraid of life. Then you will get to live life beautifully. You will start to understand the great meaning in life. So you can actually have this possibility to live life to the fullest, to come to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And you don't have to become unhappy anymore. And your mind state are always peaceful, beautiful, no matter what happens. Then life becomes very meaningful. Life becomes like full of joy, full of meaning, no longer like before. Life is like full of suffering, full of misery, full of uncertainty, full of problems. They used to say, they got no problem. But when you understand, technically, there is no such thing as a problem. You know why or not? Do you believe us when I say there is no such thing as problem in life? You shouldn't believe us. Where got such thing as no problem? Yeah? But if I explain it to you, maybe you can understand. Eh? So what is a problem? Yeah? First of all, we start off with a simple understanding. What is problem? Why you say I have a problem? Yeah? Problem is what? What is the problem? When there is something that disturbs you that you cannot resolve, then you call it a problem. True or not? Can I agree on that? Very simple. Then now I ask you, let's say you have a problem, like health problem. Is it a problem? Health problem? Is this a problem? Sure. If people got cancer, or heart problem, or what they call HIV, or even let's say what the old people one, dementia. Is it dementia? Alzheimer or dementia. Then you can also have financial problem. This one you will understand. Financial problem, money problem. Then what else? Career problem. Office, a lot of problem. Career problem. Then relationship problem. Then life problem. Problem. Then life problem. What are life's problem? The other reality. When you get old, getting old, getting sick, then die. Fear of dying. Then you got police case and all those things. When people extort you, or people give you problems, then you have so much thing to worry about. You not worry about your own health, your own life, your own financial situation, career, relationship. You later on worry about your children's problem. Then worst deal is even your grandchildren's problem also you want to worry. Then you own property, you own house. You worry about renting it out, maintaining it, paying all the bills. Then you hope for good tenant. When you met a tenant which is not so good, not so friendly, you also have headache. All these life-related problems, they will come. But then why do you treat them as problem? Why you say these are your problem? To me, I don't say it's my problem. To the Buddha, he said, these are realities of life and existence. If you go through life, you have to confront this reality. You have to confront sickness, disease, means things that is related to your health. You have to confront financial. But you don't call it problem. You have to confront how to go through your career life. You have to confront your relationship with your fellow living beings, loved ones, and all those things. Then you have to confront life. So these are realities that is common to all living beings. Everybody who lives long enough will have to confront this reality. The Buddha called it the First Noble Truth reality. So it's only a problem when you perceive it. I use the red pen. When you perceive it with negativity. True or not? If you don't perceive it with negativity, what happens? It's no longer a problem. It becomes what? You have to understand that these are realities of life and existence. Realities of life and existence. If this is a reality, it means what? I'm not the only one subject to it. Every living being who lives long enough has to confront the same reality, like health problem. Not only you have health problem, you have seen your parents, your grandparents, and other people. They have health problem too. But it's how you confront them. Understand not? If you confront them with understanding, wisdom, then it's no more a problem. That's what the teaching is all about. Suffering need not be. It won't become a problem when you have the understanding of his teaching. When you can understand that these are realities of life and existence, which is common to all of humanity, then what do you do? What do you do? You must develop the wisdom to confront them. That means you must not perceive them with negativity. You must perceive them with wholesomeness, that these are reality. Sooner or later, I have to confront them. Now I confront them. The difference between the one who suffer and the one who don't suffer is what? The one who suffer perceive in negativity and become miserable over it. That's why I always say you got two choices, like health problem. When the doctor check, suspect something, ask you to go for maybe a health test, or sometimes they call it, biopsies. During that week, waiting for result, I tell you, you panic like anything. So much fear. There was one guy, also Buddhist, not only Buddhist, president of a Buddhist society, quite a big one. He told me, he said, "Brother Theo, I visited him in the hospital." He said, "That week was like hell," he said, "despite all my Dhamma," he said, "no use." There was so much fear, intense, because the doctor told him, very likely, he said, because of the earlier blood test, he said, very likely, he got this problem, what do you call, I think something to do with the urinary tract one, prostate problem, I think. Then because it has inflammation, no. Then the reading was so high, no. So the doctor told him, very likely you got cancer, third stage or fourth stage. I tell you, he told me in his own words, his face pucat straight away. He don't know what to do. And the doctor said, I can only confirm it through a biopsy, and you have to wait 1 week. I tell you, that 1 week was like hell to him. Is it? It was so traumatic. You got two choices, as I said. You go and project your thought, worry about it, perceive it negativity and fear, then you have this mental hindrance or restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, then you suffer, you become miserable. Understand? Second option is what? These are reality. If it's positive, so be it. Understand? If it's negative, of course, you will be happy like anybody else. Anasana. But this is a reality. So if you can calm your mind down and accept this reality and go through it, you got nothing to worry, isn't it? True or not? You can be at peace, isn't it? Then you can ask the doctor. Okay, what are my options? Let's say come out positive. Instead of worrying about it, when you worry means what? You project your thought and you develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety. And that fear is very intense. And that is the one which we call negative fear. That vibration is so detrimental to your health. It will lower your immune system and it will cause yourself to mutate further. That's why you become worse. You succumb to it. The reason why people get into trouble, cancer and all those things, is due to what? Stressful environment. True or not? When you go through stressful environment, when you are subject to a lot of stress, fear, worry, anxiety, you get this type of what they call immune system affected. Then cell starts to mutate, then it becomes cancerous. So what are you going to do if you understand that this is the cause? That's why you have to calm yourself down. Don't allow the fear to arise, because these are realities of life and existence. So you perceive it wholesomeness, then you tell yourself, if I don't panic, I don't fear, my negative tendency, which is that fear, the vibration is not there, then my immune system will not be affected. Then what must I do? I must strengthen my mind state. That's why I meditate. I develop loving kindness. I train my mind to be peaceful. I relax and silent. So the inner peace leading to the inner well-being, which is a loving kindness, you read it, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, will bring about the condition for inner peace and inner well-being, which is a very positive energy. And this will help to reverse your immune system. Then, allow yourself to recuperate and become more positive. That's why your immune system, when it's improved, whatever medication you take will also help you to improve. Then you can recover. Chances of recovery is so much better. That's why I said you got two choices. First choice, react to it, project your thought, become fearful and miserable, and suffer. You fall into the first category, which is common to most humanity. Most human beings will react, understand, and become miserable. But if you have the Dhamma, you perceive it as realities of life and existence, then this is something normal, isn't it? Everybody got to confront it, not only me. The only difference between a person who suffer and a person who don't suffer is the person who suffer don't understand, they project the thought, develop the hindrance, and become afflicted, miserable. Then if I perceive it in wholesomeness, what do? This could be a blessing in disguise. Correct, huh? If I don't have this problem, I don't come to meditation. I don't come to understand this teaching. Then I don't know how to recuperate. Then I don't know how to solve my problem. If you perceive it with wholesomeness or blessing in disguise, you not only become at peace and happy, you have a lot of joy. And because of this, I come to understand this teaching. I come to understand how I can overcome all this. And this is what the teaching is all about. Learning to understand that these are reality of life and existence. These are not problems. Problem is only there when you perceive it with negativity. Because you are very negative in your mind state. You cannot see any other way of coming out of it. That's how people get trapped in suffering, misery, depression. They have a lot of fear, sorrow, lamentation. Not only health problem, financial problem also same. During the financial crisis, you heard of people committing suicide. Especially those who borrow from loan shark. They call Tai Long. you have heard a lot of miserable stories that that Michael Chong and a lot of these people are trying to help them out. They can be in deep trouble, harassed by all these people. And not only them, their loved one also affected. Then career problem also same. Recession time, they cut pay, then they retrench you. Then they give you a love letter. Then you have relationship failure. A lot nowadays. Divorce and all those things. Then sometimes not married also have problem with relationship. The boyfriend, girlfriend dump them. They cannot take it. They become so depressed, so miserable. And they got so much anger, hatred, envy and jealousy. They want to take revenge. And sometimes they go cuckoo. That is what suffering is all about. So the essence of the Buddha's teaching is very simple. He said, there are just these four noble truths that you need to understand. He will summarize to you the whole of life. Like the whole of the secret of life, both mundane and supramundane, they are all summarized into just four simple, beautiful truths that the Buddha called noble truth. These are called four noble truths. Truths that can actually make you enlightened, or noble ones. Noble ones are called enlightened ones. They are all in the seminar book. You can read about them. You don't have to remember them. Then meditation, maybe after you can take another book, the blue book. You go back and read, then you will have the understanding. So the Buddha said, first, there is this first noble truth of suffering, he said. In life, he said, you go through life, there are eight realities that you have to confront. And these eight realities are all related to your life. That's why we call it the first noble truth realities. And the first four is very common. The Buddha said, when you confront birth, old age, sickness and death, you don't have wisdom, you will have suffering, you will become afflicted, you will become miserable. You will have a lot of sorrow, lamentation, sadness, unhappiness. So you have to really go into all this and find out for yourself. Is it the truth? What the Buddha say? Is birth really suffering? You know why birth is suffering or not? What comes with birth? When you are born into this world, what happens after that? You will have to get old, get sick, and one day die there. True or not? That's why birth is suffering. Then the birth process, you can see there. The mother that carried the baby for 10 months or 9 months or sometimes 7 months for premature. Do you think they are very happy? The birth process itself? There's a lot of suffering. Then the first 1 or 2 months, the morning sickness and all those things, the vomiting and all. Then as the baby takes shape, the pregnancy, the immobility and all those things, then they have to be very careful. Then sometimes they fall. Then during the birth process, there's a lot of suffering that comes with it. Then when there's complication also, there's a lot of mental agony or suffering. Then the worst is when you are put into a dilemma. The doctor come out and tell you to decide. We can only save one, either your wife or your child. What are you going to do? Of course you say, touch wood. Hopefully it don't happen to me. But there are cases which you have seen before. So a lot of these things, these are realities of life and existence. When you are confronted with it, can you still be at peace? Can you still develop the type of understanding to be at peace with whatever that happened? Then, of course, getting old. You look at your grandparents, your parents, and some of us are not too young anymore. Your senses are starting to fail you. You become very much less mobile than before. A lot of the things that you can do when you are young, you are no longer able to do. you want to cross the road, you also you have to be very careful, extra careful. You cannot, like when you are young, jump across the drain. No more. Don't try to be a hero anymore. The moment you fall, I tell you. Now go down staircase also, you must hold railing. Otherwise, I tell you, you take a chance, you just trip. I can tell you, any part of your bone can just go. Then you landed up in hospital, then you regret like anything. But the mind that understands will not do that. That's why getting old is another phase that you have to go through. They say when you are young, you are very happy. Yeah? You run in and out of the house, then kindergarten, then you run in and out of school, then university, then you walk in and out of office. Finally, you walk in and out of hospital. Correct. Huh? That's why they say life, you can look at it as a process of walking. Where do you walk? When you are young, you walk around the house with the maid, your parents. Then you walk to kindergarten, in and out, then school, uni. Maybe you enjoy those days, then walk in and out of office, not so enjoyable, more pressure. Then the worst is, as you hit old age, hospital become a common place for you. At first maybe clinic, then polyclinic, then specialist center, medical center, then old folks home is the worst. When you have to end up in the old folks home, some people can't even afford old folks home. They have to sleep by the roadside. Depend on your karma. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of everything. Then not only old age, getting sick is another problem. Then people used to say nowadays, you know, I cannot afford to get sick, no, I don't have reserve, no. Understand not? It's so expensive to get sick, no, nowadays. Do you know that? And it's even more expensive to die. Now you have to buy your place, no, and pay so much for it, no. And the funeral is not cheap. So, like I used to tell this joke, I got one friend who very close to me, we used to talk, no? When you have money, while you are still young and still have the means to travel and pamper yourself to have the good holiday and all that, make sure you do it. You know? You can use your money while you are healthy, active, and still mobile. They say you use it while you have the means. But you can also use money in a very different way when you are hospitalized. Correct? They say, fan tai le yong. You use money by lying down in the hospital bed. That one also use very, very fast money, you know. Very, very fast. And I can tell you, even rich people also scared. Because 2 weeks can be 100 over 1,000. Insurance also not enough. Now medical center is not cheap, I tell you. Not the drug. No. The doctor that see you, the specialist that see you, the nurse that come and attend to you, the room, the food, and the medication. Of course, operation, no need to say. They charge you by the minutes. No. Operation theater and all those things. I'm not telling you as a joke here. I went into operation room before. I went through 2 operations so far. But they are not serious. But because we can afford, it's not that much. And insurance cover most of it. But sometimes when you are hit with severe old age problem, then you have to be in the ICU and all those things. And the worst is when you become vegetable. I tell you, your loved one pay through their nose to maintain you there. Until the doctor was so kind as to tell them, you better go to government hospital. You cannot afford here. One day, at first they call ICU, intensive care unit. Now they call what? CCU. CCU, what it stands for what? Critical care, not intensive. So all these are not cheap. And it can be like, the normal charges can be almost 1,000 ringgit a day, you know. a day. Then all the other charges are different. If they do a CT scan, they do a blood test, they do what, it can be very different. I remember my mother-in-law last time just admitted one day only, you know, they do all the blood tests and everything. But the doctor was very good. He said, you better go. I discharge you before the 12:30. Otherwise, you're full day charge. And that bill came out to be 1,000 plus, you know, just morning and mid, a few hours only, they do the test. He said, you better go government hospital. So my wife, government servant, we admitted her to university hospital. Luckily, she was there for a few months. Then a lot better. So old age sickness and pending death is something that you have to confront as you go through life. And they are not easy if you don't have the Dhamma, the understanding. Then, apart from these four, the other four is worse. The Buddha say when you are with people whom you don't like. Like the bullies, the gangster, the loan shark, and even your kidnapper, and all those things. Then when you cannot get what you want, then when there is separation from your loved ones, from the thing you believe you own, your prized possession. Separation can happen in many ways. Nature's disaster, earthquake, tsunami, flood, war, riot, sometimes snatch thief, kidnapping and other things, and even gang fight. So all this, almost 10:30, I have to summarize it here. So all this can bring about suffering. Then relationship failure also, is separation, like spouse get separated through divorce, they suffer. Then girlfriend, boyfriend get separated because of relationship failure. When you are jilted, all this can be miserable. Then the Buddha say, in short, it is due to your self-delusion, the condition you to attach to this so-called human form and mind, thinking that it's real, thinking that this is you. So the final summary is what meditation is all about. You have to meditate to understand who you are, what you are. And when you are deluded by it, you will develop this wrong view to attach and cling to this physical body and this mind process, the aggregate, thinking that they are real, they belong to you, and there is a person within to live life, to exist, to experience, to feel, to perceive, to become conscious. You think there's a thinker behind the thought. There is a living being who really lives life. All this will bring about attachment, craving, delusion that will trigger off suffering. Okay, with this, we shall end. Then for those who want to understand further, you read up yourself. You got any question, you can ask. And now you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, the closing puja. Sharing of merits to the devas, is also in the chanting book. I don't know what page is it. We will chant the Pali. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika. Punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya hidang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yahawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully. Yeah, do not put that and all the worthy ones.